welcome to the podcast, guys. Learning Japanese. How you doing, Nick?
I'm going good. How are you?
I'm all right. So, let's get right to it. So, today's topic. I think this is something that a lot of learners of Japanese will probably face at some point in time during their experience learning Japanese, because Japanese is a really difficult language in comparison to other languages that English learners might be learning. But anyway, so what do you do in moments of doubt? So a lot of Japanese learners, they have massive doubts that they'll never make it. They'll never become fluent or proficient in Japanese. What do you do in those moments, or have you ever experienced something like that?
Yeah, well, of course, I've experienced plenty of moments like that. I mean, I don't think it happens as much as it used to. It's probably not a weekly thing. But every now and again, I think I'm reminded that I've still got so far to go, or I still, you know, and it's not a positive thing that's motivating me, it's a negative thing which is draining me. It's because in most cases, which if I'm already going to get into ways of fixing that problem or fixing doubt, is that in many ways it can be seen in both ways. It can be seen that, okay, on the one side you've got a doubt about your ability, but on the other side you could think that you've got so much more to learn. And you've got, and that can be seen as a positive thing, you know, like that, hey, look at all this stuff that I've got to still cover. Look at all this stuff that I get to still go out and explore. And you can have maybe try and acquire more of an adventurous spirit and an explorer's spirit and try to go out there and try new things and you know, fail, but sort of, that's okay. How about yourself? What do you do in moments of doubt?
Honestly, I've never really had that kind of moment. For me, it's more, is it worth it? I know I can become fluent, or I can continue to improve my fluency, but to me, it's more of, is it really worth investing all this time and effort? Because I could be doing other things. Like I could be studying something else, or I could be learning another skill, or I could be taking night classes for something. It's just, is it really worth it? Is it really worth all the effort?
Is that something that you still ask yourself, or is that do you feel as though you've mostly figured that question out?
Well, I don't really think about it that much anymore. I just see it as a, you know, it's a language, and it to become really, really proficient or like a native in this language, it just takes a lot of time. To get to an advanced level, I think maybe, obviously there are differences, but you have to invest a lot. But going from like an advanced student to someone who is like a native, it's just experience. It's like if you plant a tree, you can't really wish it to grow taller or to grow faster. You just have to let it take its course. Just provide an ideal environment. So if you're learning Japanese, ideally you should be in Japan and dealing with Japanese people on a daily basis, and you should be reading on a daily basis and probably writing in Japanese too. You just have to provide yourself with the right environment, and eventually it'll happen. It's not something to rush. I never really thought of it as a complicated issue. It's just more of, is it worth it? And I've already gotten to the advanced level, so I guess I'll keep going.
And what happens then, for instance, when you're faced, how do you deal with failure then? What I mean is that, say, you go into a conversation and the conversation is just above your level, or that might not happen as much as it used to, but I'm sure that there have been plenty of times in your past where that's happened. How did you take that experience? How did you deal with that experience?
I never thought, I like, stuff like that doesn't really bother me. It happens to me in English sometimes, just if I watch a YouTube video about something that's, you know, explaining like neuroscience or something about molecular biology, I may not understand it, but it doesn't really get me down. It's just, okay, I didn't understand what that person was talking about. It's not something that I think about at all. Like, I just continue to improve my vocabulary and, just soldier on. I don't think about it. Honestly, I don't care.
So it's not the, I think you're tapping into something which is really, really important, which to me, I feel very similar to that these days. Mm-hmm. In the past, I used to feel a lot more like, well, I should just be better. I mean, instead of not thinking and not worrying about it, I just used to tell myself, well, this is something that I should know. I should know what that person was saying. I should know, you know, how to talk in that particular way. It's ridiculous that I can't. When I'm like, I'm an adult, you know, I should be able mm-hmm. to do all these things. And then instead, these days, since it got me nowhere, since it that kind of negativity never helped me to progress or proceed in any way. Instead, what I did is I just focused down and I just zoomed in, as it were, into that area that I can actually understand, that, you know, that sort of, yeah, that particular area of things that I can get a grip on. And sometimes it means I just don't understand what people are saying. Sometimes it means I can only half understand what people are saying. But, I mean, that's just part of what it is. All I need to do is then focus on the things that I do understand and not try and beat myself up too much about the things that I don't understand, and then slowly work my way into expanding that circle or expanding that area that I do understand. And then eventually, you know, it's like magic. You just go back to the thing that you used to find impossible. I mean, it's happened a fair few times with games or with books or something. You go back to some book that you just thought was impossible when you first picked it up. And then suddenly you're finding, it might not be 100% fluent, but you can get through it. And you're just thinking, oh, all of these words. I mean, sometimes you have even specific examples where you think to yourself, oh, I remember I didn't know what that word was, and now I do know what that word is. And I know the way that it's being used in this sentence, or something like that. And that's a very rewarding feeling. Once again, it's sort of a thing that, I mean, it might hurt a little bit in the moment, but then if you think, hey, if I come back to that conversation, or if I come back to that book, and I come back to that person later on and try and talk to them months down the track or whatever it might be, I might suddenly realize that everything they're saying makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, like, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, just different books that I bought. I really like bookstores in Japan. They just have a really good selection.
Yeah.
Well, of Japanese books. But anyway, I went through a phase of just buying a bunch of books, and a lot of them I couldn't even read, really. Like, some of them, they were just too hard. Like, I was buying books that I would buy in English, just topics that interest me. And, you know, I bought them, read a few pages, and most of them I just kind of gave up because it was just way beyond my level. If I read a page, I probably only understood a few sentences, really. I just couldn't get it. But going back to some of those books recently, you know, like 4 years later, I can just read through it, and I remember that time when I got it, I didn't understand it that well, and now I just fly through it. It's a really special feeling.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's, I'm not even sure if native Japanese people get that feeling all that often. It's something that I feel is hard-earned by a second language or third or fourth or whatever it might be, language learner. I feel that that's a special thing that they can get that is quite unique to them.
Do you think this feeling of, when you hit the wall, do you think this is a common experience?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's got to do with maybe a bunch of different things. I'm making judgments here, but I think it's got to do with a few things, people's expectations. I mean, I think you hit on it pretty clearly before when you mentioned, for instance, that there's some things in English that you don't understand. I think that's a thing. I mean, everyone knows that there's things in English or in their native language that they don't understand. And yet, that doesn't beat them up. They don't think about all day, why don't I understand neuroscience? I mean, it's ridiculous. Or why don't I understand complex chemistry or something like that? But it doesn't matter, because there's a whole bunch of other things that you do understand. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, I think the feeling sometimes for me, it doesn't feel like that in Japanese. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is just something that I don't understand yet. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like, I'm an idiot. Why don't I understand this? And that kind of little judgmental voice comes in. But I think if you just take that native language frame of mind and you just think that maybe you are, I mean, it's kind of maybe a weird thought experiment. I'm not sure if you've ever done this before, but if you were to sort of just imagine yourself that, okay, so you want to be fluent in Japanese, you want to be native level fluent in Japanese, well, why don't you start pretending that you're native level now, or that you're that you are Japanese, for example. I mean, it's just a thought experiment. It's not going to hurt anyone. And then just to try and reassure yourself throughout the day that you are Japanese, and it'd be interesting to see what the reaction would be, for instance, then, if you didn't understand something. It would be, if you could really sort of semi-convince yourself of that, that just like in English or your sort of native language, you don't really beat yourself up over things, it'd be interesting to see if you don't really beat yourself up over your lack of Japanese ability either. If you can really convince yourself that, in a kind of weird, crazy way, that you actually are Japanese. It's just an idea. Have you ever tried to do something like that?
No, because, I've never really dealt with this problem. I just don't think about stuff like that. To me, it's a waste of time. I might be hard on myself, for example, sometimes Japanese people, well, they say this to everybody, but they'll say, oh, your Japanese is really good, or you're so fluent, amazing. They basically, I'm not going to generalize, but, a lot of people say that to anyone, they do, regardless of your level. You can greet someone in Japanese, oh, you're fluent.
Yeah, they do.
You can teach a evolutionary biology class in Japanese, oh, you're pretty good too.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. But anyway, so I try not to think about it too much. When they say your Japanese is so good, I think, well, it should be better. I've lived in Japan for 8 years and I'm an adult, and I'm studying this language. I'm around this language. I should be, completely fluent by now, in all topics of conversation, but I'm not.
Well, these are all things that I'm sure, I mean, all the figures would have changed, but those kinds of words that you just gave yourself are all feelings that I'm sure many Japanese learners have all experienced, except it's all just, I guess, a matter of how they interpret that information. I mean, you've clearly interpreted the information as, and now I'm going to strive to be better, and now I'm going to make efforts to keep on pursuing Japanese and really, really get there. And I think a lot of other people, they take it and they take it as blows and it knocks them down, and then they say, oh, you know, maybe, as I said, I'm just assuming here, but they might say, you know, screw Japanese, and they sort of throw in the towel for a little while, and then they beat themselves up again later for not studying Japanese the days that they were feeling, you know, hurt by it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe you've hit the nail on the head, so to speak, with that then, saying that it's maybe just about the way in which you accept, you know, the inevitable failures that you're going to experience in trying to learn another language, the way that you accept, you know, any kind of hardships which might come your way when you're studying.
What do you do after, like, some kind of situation where you feel really down that you couldn't communicate or you couldn't understand what somebody was saying? Do you, like, act like some girl that just got broken up with by her boyfriend and you eat, like, a tub of ice cream or something? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I might have done that in the... Yeah, I would say that I've done that before, but the you know, and maybe even two tubs. But, I mean, I think, as I said, these days...
Heartbreaking.
I think what happens is, you know, you hit your head up against a wall long enough and your head either gets harder or you learn to avoid the wall a bit more or whatever it might be. But, I think, I don't know, maybe you just get used to it. You get used to, you become more humble. Mm-hmm. I'm still not very humble in English. I still tend to think maybe I'm better than a lot of people on those sorts of things. It's not a good thing about me, but I'm a bit, you know, self-righteous and things like that.
You and those books.
Yeah. But then, I don't know, it's a very humbling experience learning another language, because you have to hop back into the shoes, not the mind, and that's actually where some of the problems is, because you have the mind of an adult, but you have to sort of hop back into the shoes of a child a little bit. I think we were discussing that in the past at work at one point, the idea of that, you know, you have the ideas of an adult, but then you only have the tongue or the mouth, so to speak, of a child, it might be. And so you have to filter everything through, and it might create a bit of frustration. But yeah. These days, when I hit up against that wall, specifically, what do? I guess I mean, normally it doesn't take me long to rebound. I mean, it either just bounces off me and I don't even think about it at all anymore, probably more like you.
That's the way to be.
Yeah, you become a bit, you know, as I said, you get a bit more of a hard head. But, or you, I don't know, like I've got some comfort study. I mean, Anki's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I try not to bury myself in it too much, but...
That's a great way to recover.
Yeah, you go back into Anki and you just, yeah, you can sort of, hey, but I know all these cards, man. Like, you can go through those, you can do like 100 reviews that day, and you think, you know, look, in those 100 cards, I make 10 mistakes. I mean, that's pretty good. That's a, you know, I'm getting a 90% average on the selection of cards that I do know. So you just have to maybe remind yourself of how much you do know.
Yeah, that's so much better than what a lot of people do. I think, like, in Japan, at least, a lot of people, they just get shit-faced at the pub, or they end up just being angry and really irritable for, like, the rest of their time. Like, there's a certain kind of person that's in Japan. They just seem very unapproachable, and I think these people are probably people that got frustrated with the language or maybe with the culture, but they just never recovered from it. But you, instead of putting your energy into something negative, you're just doing reps on kanji, reps on Anki. I just think that's probably the best way.
I normally don't want to be the kind of person that really points the finger and tells people not to do things, but I think it's an easy trap to fall into, like what you were saying before with people who get angry. And I think it's important that I mention this, that I think it's very important not to judge Japanese people for mm-hmm. the mistakes that you are making.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to do, that you tend to, as like a self-defense mechanism, you sort of think, no, it's their fault. And you can't really justify why it's their fault, but, you know, you irrationally have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's, not only is that bad because it changes your feeling towards Japanese people into being actually people who could potentially be helping you, but it also changes your feeling towards, you know, Japanese as a language.
Yeah. And yeah, people tend to generalize a lot, too. They have one bad experience and... maybe yep. some Japanese guy was a shithead and that one person did something that pissed off some guy that's studying Japanese. And then that guy that's studying Japanese is just going to make a blanket statement about all Japanese people based on one shithead.
Yeah, that's right. I know that sometimes, you know, if I don't understand a certain person, for instance, at work, I mean, I know that there's other people at work that I can talk to that I perfectly understand. And so, and normally I can have a great conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's just sometimes, you know, you need to be a little bit selective of who you talk to as well. But I certainly would caution against trying to, you know, point the finger at Japanese people and scrutinize them and say it's their fault for not understanding your Japanese, because I've normally found that if you give Japanese people a little bit and it's incorrect Japanese, then they will understand almost immediately, almost miraculously, they will understand. I just think that in most cases, Japanese people are very accommodating and they try. I mean, that's what we are as humans. We are always trying to receive, you know, information and trying to interpret it as meaningful, you know, experience and meaningful information that then we can, you know, react to. And I think that Japanese people are no exception to that human rule. And so, yeah, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, not to try and get too frustrated with Japanese people. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I don't, actually. No.
Yeah, I think that might be a good spot to end it. Would you like to wrap it up there?
Yeah, all right, let's finish up. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to Guys Learning Japanese. Send your questions or comments to glj@gmail.com. Rate us on iTunes. Leave a comment, even if you hate us, doesn't matter. Just rate us. Give us one star if you want.
Rate us or hate us.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, take care, everyone. Later.